Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast. We are back with part two of Guess Who's Coming to Luncheon. I'm about ready to take my family to the Playboy studio.
Yes. I'm curious, like, how do you feel rewatching these scenes and seeing your brother in them?
Oh, well, my brother, in case you guys don't know, passed away almost 10 years ago now, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
The time that has passed. You know, when I was rewatching this for YouTube, I feel more of an emotional connection with him through the Jamaica episode.
Oh.
This one, not so much. And I was trying to think about why that is. I think because you just don't see any of his personality in this episode. He's very, very buttoned up. And what I feel when I watch this episode, taking them through the studio, is I'm feeling not embarrassment, but just that kind of like giddy, silly, but let's keep everything repressed that I think him and my dad were both feeling, just because you know you're being watched through the cameras and you don't want to look like a perv or an ass or somebody who's trying to be disrespectful. So it's just kind of like a smirking, but I'm going to be good and be chill energy.
I feel it so hard.
Right?
I feel it so hard from them, but especially from your brother.
I know. And you can see him like just trying not to smirk at stuff.
Like, you know, he knows the situation's kind of funny and the cameras are on him and they're looking for a reaction, but he's like, don't do it. Like, don't look pervy. Don't look into it. Don't look, you know. So yeah, I feel it. I feel and it's not quite awkward. It's something else, but it's in the awkward, embarrassed category.
Yeah, it's like awkward, embarrassed, excitement, and just trying to keep it all contained.
And I think also feeling like, well, this is super cool. Like, look at where I'm at and look at what I've seen and stuff. I know. But then also my parents are here. Yeah. And then also that's my sister. And also like there's an audience watching.
Totally.
Like, so there's so many emotions, but I 100% feel it from him coming off. So I know what you mean about that.
Yeah, so it's not one of those scenes where I feel transported back. Like every once in a while, we'll get one of those scenes. Like I'll see me with the dogs and I can almost viscerally feel the dog that's not here anymore in my hands. Or we'll be watching like a buffet scene for like a buffet and movie night. And I'll feel like, oh, this feels so real. Like I feel like I'm back there. And I don't really get that from this scene. It's more when we get to Jamaica, I think.
Yeah. Have you rewatched Jamaica before?
I did for YouTube. Yeah. I just didn't get to season five. The season five is going to be so new to me again once we get there.
Yeah.
And the confusing timeline of season five is going to be something else.
Yeah. I'm excited for it and dreading it all at the same time.
We need to make sure we have our day planners from 2008 in hand before we get into that season.
Yeah, I have to find all that. And then, like I told you, the box for that season, it's a box. It's not even folders. It's
Me
not.
Too.
It's
yeah.
just everything thrown into a box.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough.
But for now, we're going back to May of 2007. We are here to talk some more about season three, episode, what number is this episode?
14? I thought it was 13.
There were only 13 episodes in season three. That is a short season.
I have episode 13, season three, episode 13. Wow,
no wonder we blew through this season then, because that's kind of short. Yeah. Like, I know it's not that many less episodes than like a 16-episode season, but considering we take two episodes to get through.
I could be wrong on the numbers. Like, I always second guess. Mm-hmm. Like, am I doing these numbers right? Is this the one? I think it is.
Yeah, seasons three and season four were a little bit shorter than the other seasons.
That's okay. They make up for it in five.
Yeah. So we are back at it with the Guess Who's Coming to Luncheon episode featuring Barbie Benton. It's the second Barbie Benton episode in the five episode compendium.
That's crazy.
Of the Barbie Benton library.
I mean, maybe it's just because I'm looking at it after all of the episodes are done, but like, I'm like, it seems like she's been around more than just one episode before. Like, I feel like we've seen her more already.
Yeah, probably because over the course of the series, we see her so many times. But yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. Now we're at Studio West and you are working on Saskia's shoot. And it's so cool how they have this whole limo pulled into studio.
It's fun. And in the cold open, we were at the studio and it was Sarah back in January of 2007. But what we're seeing now is actually May of 2007. This is actually like a day or 2 days before Sarah's press luncheon. And I'm shooting who would be that year's Miss December, Saskia Porto.
It's funny too, because in commentary, we're like, it's pronounced Saskia, because that's how she used to tell everybody. And she'd say it twice, Saskia.
And this is the first time we're seeing my family on the show. We're at the end of season three.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, logistically, it makes sense because they were far away. But
yeah.
Should we call my mom and see what she has to say?
Yeah. While you're calling, I'll just say you tell the staff that you're working with that your parents are coming in for lunch at noon.
Uh-huh.
And it shows you kind of twirling your hair and dazing off again, too. Like, I don't know what they're trying to say here exactly. Like,
yeah, I think just from an observer's standpoint, they're like, this bitch is fucking weird. Like, why is she disconnected? But that's just the way I am. Like, playing with my hair is my stim. Like, I look like I'm zoning out all the time. I am zoning out a lot of the time, but also staying on task. Yeah. But I think they're like, what the fuck? I think to like Kevin or like a random editor in a room, they're just like, what the fuck is wrong with this bitch?
I think they're trying to show like some sort of disinterest in the fact that your family's coming, or
100%.
Yeah.
I think Kevin after I moved out, like, accused me of being a sociopath because I wouldn't react the way he wanted me to react to certain things on camera. And it's like, I'm just not that way. I mean, now we know it's because I'm on the spectrum, but like, I just don't emote that way. I'm always playing with my hair. I'm zoning out a lot of time. I'm in two worlds at once in my head, you know? But I think to like the casual observer and to somebody who's observing footage of me for hours and hours, and if they want to be a hater about it, are like, what the fuck is wrong with this bitch? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And they want to play it like I'm truly disinterested.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, what's up?
I'm good. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Bridget's here too.
Hi.
So we are reviewing the episode where you guys come and visit for Sarah Underwood's Playmate of the Year luncheon.
Yeah.
And do you remember why you guys came down for that one? Like, did I encourage you to come down because Sarah's like from Oregon and her family was going to be there?
Yeah, I think that's what the deal was, because they were from Scappoose and, you know, like 7 miles away.
Yeah, Scappoose and St. Helens, where I lived when I was in junior high and high school, are super close together. They're like rival high schools. And it's interesting because on the show, they never really point that out. Like, I think at one point, maybe in the episode where I take the girls to Hooters, I say something about, oh, we're both from Oregon. But they never talk about like how close we were from each other and what a weird coincidence that is.
Yeah.
And I think it's weird that that's never brought up on the show.
It really is.
It's odd.
I think that's really weird too, because I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized it like after Joe went through high school.
Yeah.
Everybody from Scappoose knows everybody from St. Helens.
Totally. It was weird. And like Sarah and I never interacted before because there's like a couple years difference between us. But just the fact that I was down there in LA and this girl comes to test and she's from Scappoose, like the odds of that are so weird to me.
Yeah. What are the odds?
Mm-hmm. And was this your first time meeting Sarah's parents?
Yes. In fact, I really only ever ran into her mom one other time after that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird too, but you know, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she lives out in the country a little bit.
I think
too.
They're rural.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Speaking of, this is a random side story, but do you remember the random sex shop that opened in Scappoose?
Yes.
That was like on the side of the highway. I don't know, because it was after I left town and I would just, people would tell me about it. Like people from back home or like Joe would tell me that there was this, and it was in like a little like house shack type of building that was like on the side of the highway.
Yikes.
Yes.
Like off of Highway 30. Yeah. It was like a little like small house and it was like a sex shop. And I don't know if you know anyone who ever went in there, but like, how much of a sex shop was it? Like, was it like pornos and sex toys, or was it like adult video rental? And I know they sold magazines there, like they sold Playboys and like other more explicit magazines.
Well, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of it.
I know, but like, did you ever hear anything about anybody who went in there?
I think they had all of that assorted stuff. I mean, it's such a small place. They couldn't have possibly had much for like a back room or anything, mm-hmm. but I think they had sex toys and videos or whatever.
Yeah, it opened like years after I left town. And I think Sarah told me about it too, because they would get like her issues and they were really popular there. And I think they would ask her for like signed stuff and stuff like that.
Did she sign some stuff for them?
I don't know. We'll have to ask her when we call her, but because it's just, and there's no point to me telling this story, except I just think it's funny that in this tiny town, first of all, any kind of sex store in St. Helens or Scappoose or anywhere in between, that's just weird to me. And then the fact that one like pops up on the side of Highway 30, it's, I don't know. Everybody listening to this is probably like, why are you even talking about this? This is the most boring thing I ever heard. But like, to me, it's weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like down the road to the Dirty 30, you know, the tavern there by the road in Linton where the mannequins were in the window by there.
Yes. Okay. So this was like if you're driving toward Portland, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're driving toward Portland. This is very rural. And there's this building that almost looks like it's like a commercial building, but it's small, almost like duplex, right? Like two different businesses right next to each other.
Yeah.
And one was like a topless bar or a strip club and it called like the Dirty 30.
Yeah. That's not its real name. But
everybody calls it that because it's on the side of Highway 30.
Oh.
And then next to it was this weird mannequin store. And just naked mannequins in the window. And didn't you drive by and like every once in a while you would see one of them like in a dirty pose or something?
Well, I can't remember how they were posed, but they did make them take them down.
Eventually.
Yeah. After years and years of them being there.
Yeah. You guys, for like early internet world, small town life, this is very entertaining stuff.
Yeah.
It is.
It really is. And didn't like, I'll bleep her name, but didn't like sister like work at the Dirty 30?
I feel like she did. That's a vague little pop-up in my mind now that you said it, but I would have never remembered it otherwise.
So scandalous.
But didn't she say something about working there? Like in some kind of an exhausted voice?
No. Okay. I remember what it was. So she had this older sister and we both worked at McDonald's for a minute. And the older sister came in to order some food one day, just stoned and wasted out of her mind. And she was rambling and she let it slip that she worked at that place. And during like that time and place, it's not something like if an older sister was working at a strip club that you'd tell the younger sister's high school friend. So this was definitely something that she was so wasted she was saying. So it was like low key gossip.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it going. But yeah. I did not hear it personally, but that is the story I recall.
Yeah. I'm talking about all this stuff and it feels so Little House on the Prairie. Just like the type of stuff that seemed like such big news and so scandal. Did you know they're remaking Little House on the Prairie for Netflix?
I saw a blip about that. Yeah. I just saw it go by on my Facebook one day.
I'm low-key obsessed with Little House on the Prairie. Like, did you know you can do a tour where you go to, like, all the Midwest towns that she, like, settled in and you have a passport and they'll stamp it?
You told me.
That would be fun.
I low-key want to do that.
Yeah, that would be fun. Do it all in one swoop.
Yeah. So I completely went off track.
Well, it starts out with them coming to the studio. Is that the first time at the studio?
Yeah, so you guys came to the studio. And even before we get into that, I should ask you, because people are going to want to know, like, about the first time, like, you and Dad visited. And I remember, like, after I moved in, the first time I think either of you came down, like, Dad came down after I got the Escalade to, like, drive my car back home, right?
Yeah.
And when he came down, I, like, gave him a tour around the house and stuff. And it was during the day, so, like, nobody was around. Hef wasn't there. He asked me if Hef lived there. And then he left. And then when you guys came down to visit again, was the first time that time that you guys stayed at the Bunny House across the street, or did you come one time before then?
I think we just stayed in the motel somewhere the very first time we came to the mansion, and I think it was just a fun in the sun or something. It's possible that we stayed at the Bunny House, so I'm just trying to think what order that all went in.
Yeah, you definitely stayed at the Bunny House at one point, but I almost want to say there was one other time where maybe you came up for a Sunday buffet and, like, met everybody and stuff and saw the house. But when you came down more for, like, a Disneyland trip, and I would, like, meet you at Disneyland during the days and stuff. It wasn't, like, yeah, to come to the mansion.
I think that's probably true, yeah.
Do you...
Because I just don't remember a big party or anything like that.
Yeah. So I know memory's probably cloudy on it, but do you remember, since we can't even figure out when the first time was, but do you remember, like, coming up for that first fun in the sun, like, what your impression of everything was, your impression of Hef, if you caught any mean girl vibes from any of the girls?
I would not have paid any attention to mean girl vibes, because I always feel like in a situation like that, I'm just battling my way through, you know, because I'm not Miss Personality or anything.
Same.
but I remember, actually, everybody sort of catered to me.
Yeah.
They kind of, like, you know, showed interest and everything. And I thought Hef was awesome. I thought he was very gentlemanly and all that.
And all his friends were really nice, too. Like, if you're coming up for a visit.
Yeah.
Do you remember any, speaking of mean girls, maybe you didn't even meet any of the girls? Because if I'm thinking it's for a Sunday night dinner, they might not have even come down.
The people I don't remember them, the mean girls particularly. The people I do remember is, like, Allison. She was always there. And I remember that. Oh, God, I don't know her name. She used to be on the Young and the Restless years and million years.
Roberta. Oh, my God. Roberta's laugh. Did you hear Roberta's laugh during the movie?
I probably did.
Oh, she's heard it.
I don't know who it was.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing. And then you guys came and stayed at the Bunny House before anybody lived there, which was nice.
Yeah, I loved the Bunny House. I don't know why it had to be torn down.
Yeah, it's just such an expensive neighborhood that if you're going to pay that for the property, that house is dingy for that kind of money.
True.
But it was cute for what it was when Hef had it and the pool was great.
Yeah, it was an awesome little house.
And that was probably, like, I want to say in 2002 or 2003. And you guys would walk over for, like, the buffets and the movies and stuff like that.
Yeah. We spent a lot. I feel like the main thing we did was go to Fun in the Sun, buffet and a movie, or a meal.
Yeah.
They never came to one of the parties?
Did you ever come to one of the big parties? I don't think so, right?
No. Can you imagine me in a 90?
Did Joe ever?
Joe
or Stephanie?
I don't know. Stephanie came to one. She might have on her own. You know, she lived down there for a little while, for mm-hmm. a minute. But Joe did not go to any big parties so that I know. No, he didn't.
Well, he was actually really young still, right?
Pretty young. Yeah, he was in early high school.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have been going to the party.
The rumor mill.
Wait, battling his way through the rumor mill? What do you mean?
Yeah, well, you know, at school, you would take a ribbing for your sister living at the Playboy Mansion.
Of course, yeah.
I know when we are talking about this scene in commentary, you and Kendra say how much your brothers are kind of alike in the way they dress and right. stuff, and that they are both the same age, which was 18 at the time we're doing commentary. Oh.
And they had a similar vibe, I felt like yeah. a very chill baseball yes. cap yeah. and t-shirt vibe.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking yeah. about, commentary.
Yeah, they probably would have been two peas in a pod if they were there together.
Yeah.
But you remember we brought Joe's friend down when we stayed over at the Bunny House? And that was when we went to Ashley's wedding.
Why do I not remember Joe's friend? Because I have a whole photo album you made for me of that trip. With like pictures of like Joe in front of my car and like you guys at the house and Disneyland and stuff. Why don't I remember a friend?
I don't know. It was his friend Casey. And when we went to Ashley's wedding, they stayed at the Bunny House by themselves. Mm-hmm. And they tried to turn the pool on. So maintenance came over and turned the pool on for them. And then they had them come back over to the mansion with them.
How fun.
That's funny. Home alone yeah. at the Playboy Mansion. Yeah. That's cool.
Exactly what it was like.
And two teen boys. I could know. Ask for anything more.
I know. That's so crazy.
Wow.
What else? So after the Bunny House, maybe you guys came down like another time, but it would have been more like a Disneyland trip type of thing if you guys did. Or was this the next trip when you came to Sarah's PMOY thing?
I almost feel like we went to a Disney trip in between.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we probably stayed at Disneyland and just kind of traveled back and forth a couple times.
It was probably that time. Remember when Joe had that generic water mister they would sell at Disneyland and Ashley yes. and I called it the Misty Mini?
Yeah. And he got pulled aside in the airline. Because of it.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, they fought, you know, in his suitcase and he had to be frisked. And
it looked like an explosive.
Yes. Oh. Like nobody knew what that was.
That's so funny. I was just more shocked that Disneyland was selling something that was generic and not branded. That's why I'm like, in a year, they're going to sell this and it's going to be the Misty Mini.
That is really weird.
It is weird.
Now that you mention it. Because it was just a plain black thing.
Yeah. So by the time you guys are coming down and you know you're going to be on the show, you'd obviously seen the show and you'd seen like Bridget's family on the show and Kendra's family on the show. Did you dread being on the show or were you like, oh, I know what this is. It's fine. It's whatever.
I was okay with it. But, you know, me stringing a sentence together even is like impossible. I'm not the biggest talker in the world.
Same.
Well, I think you can do it better than me.
Were you worried it would be like embarrassing though, or that they were going to edit you weird?
No, I didn't really care.
Okay.
That's good.
I'm the opposite. I'm still to this day picking this shit apart.
Oh, well, you know, like we rewatched that particular Playmate of the Year episode the other mm-hmm. day because I had to like refresh my memory. And I always feel like I look like a dork. And Dad goes, oh my God, why didn't I just shut my mouth?
I thought everything Dad said was fine.
It was fine.
Oh but my
you
God.
You review things that come out of your mouth and how you sound.
Yes. Totally.
Oh, we know.
100%. So you guys walk into the studio and there's all these naked posters on the wall. Did you guys kind of know what to expect? Because you've seen the studio on the show a little bit up to this point. Or did you guys not know what you were walking into at all?
The like naked posters and stuff like that don't bother me. I have no modesty or anything like that. That doesn't bother me. I thought it was an interesting tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I might have been more awkward if a poor girl was there naked trying to do her shot with a family looking at her.
Yeah, because Saskia was there, but I think she had like lingerie on when you guys were coming in and stuff.
Yeah, I think she did.
So it wasn't like free tour.
Right.
But they try and make it look awkward on the show. Like they focus in on the nudity of the posters and then they focus in on your dad's face or your brother's face or whatever.
Yeah. I can feel the vibe from Dad and Joe, or at least I think I feel the vibe that it's like they're trying really hard to just like look neutral. Like, we don't want to look pervy. We don't want to, but I can kind of see like Joe smirking a little bit, like he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
Like I can feel the vibe. Like I know what it's like to be in one of those situations where you're like, I don't want to react, but this is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was too.
Yeah. And I
made him look like he was getting a real eyeful.
I know. Yeah, I texted Dad about it to see if he had any memories from it. And he goes, I just remember when I was a kid and got caught looking at Playboy, like my dad reprimanded me. And then Joe gets to go tour the whole studio.
Double standard.
I know. So Joe is there with his girlfriend, Melissa, just so everybody knows that's not my sister. Was Melissa living with you guys at the time or no?
Yes.
Did they share any observations with you about how they felt about the studio tour or anything?
I just think everybody was kind of excited to go there and see what was going on and, you know, see how it works.
Yeah. And I introduced you to Pat Lacey, and she's very sweet. And do you remember anything else that was going on at the studio? Maybe anything they didn't show on the show or anything?
I don't really remember in detail anything else, because it seemed like people were just kind of moving us from room to room, showing us what was going on.
Can we call you back in a minute, actually, when we get to the luncheon park, because it'll make more sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it was fun having them there. And of course, you are kind of conscientious. Like, it's a weird balance because I'm very matter of fact about nudity and my job. But I do know, and I know my family is matter of fact about it too. Like, I know they're not coming there to be pervs or anything like that. But I know that we're being watched by the cameras. So there's that feeling of like, it's kind of awkward because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like the show is doing a very similar thing to you that they kind of did to my stepdad. But I feel like they're trying to do a similar thing with your family. Like, oh, here's Holly with all these like naked women, and these naked women are just like in your face all over the place. And here's her family like walking through, and like, let's zoom in and really get their reaction on this weird thing with all these naked people. And you know.
Yeah. So I was very conscientious of that. Like, I didn't want my family to look dumb or anything like that. And they even do it, like, even like when Colin first comes up for Kendra's birthday, they make him look like he's eyeing all the girls when he probably wasn't.
Yeah.
So I knew that was probably going to be the cut. So it's just kind of like, I shouldn't have felt awkward about anything about it. And I know it's definitely an unusual experience for them to come see the studio, but I know they're not there to be weird, but I know that we're being watched. So it's that kind of whole weird thing.
Yeah. And everything's going to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be judged first through the eyes of like Kevin and the editors. And then it's going to be judged through everybody that's watching.
Yeah. And I thought it turned out fine. I mean, of course, they try to cut it like the guys are like smirking and stuff. But I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
What it was. And the next scene is us at the mansion in the dining room. We're getting ready to go out to dinner and a club. And with us, I love the braid in your hair, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Very cute. With us are Crystal Camden, of course, Sarah, the guest of honor, Janine, Carmela, Saskia, Lindsay, probably even more people.
I wanted to go on to that scene, but can I just had another note from the last scene. It cuts to Arnie telling your parents that you're doing a great job and that you have a great eye and really know what you're doing and stuff. And underneath him, they have him listed as chief Playboy photographer.
I bet Steve was pissed.
That was
if he noticed
next
that.
Note. I wonder if Steve was pissed.
Right? Because they both had like an equal job, but to do singular chief Playboy photographer, when we've seen Steve on the show before, but not as in a detailed way as Arnie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder.
You, and in commentary, you say, I love how my mom looks not thrilled about this whole thing. And then you go, it's not that she isn't happy. That's just her normal face. And but I feel same like she with just me. Said that
yeah.
too.
And that's with me too. Like, I always have a resting bitch face. You can always count on me. And later in this episode, you will see an absolutely yes. lethal
yes.
bitch face on me, but yes. out of context.
I think it's cool too that, I mean, it's true for my parents as well, not so much Kendra's mom, but like for my parents and your parents, it's so out of their everyday and out of their comfort mm-hmm. zone and like unreal to like come and take part of a TV show and stuff. I think it's just so nice that both of our parents like,
oh no, I always felt like my parents were doing me a favor. I don't know if they felt like that, but I always felt like you come do this, you know, it's kind of, so I always felt like they were being good sports.
Yeah. Like how awkward and weird. And,
'cause they're not trying to get in the limelight right. in any way.
my parents yeah. either. So this is our new, semi-new tradition, mm-hmm. taking the Playmate of the Year out to dinner.
Yeah. We started that, the year before with Kara. Mm. And part of it was because we just wanted to take that extra time to like congratulate the girl before she gets whisked away on her year of a promo tour.
Yeah. Also because it's such a busy week. The girl is staying with us and we're mm-hmm. excited that she's there and everything, but it's such a busy week for her that we barely see the person. Like yeah. she's doing press and she's got to go to bed early. She's got to get up early. She's got to do here and there and everything. And so it was like one piece of time that we could carve out to like really have her undivided attention for a moment and
give
like
her gift.
Yeah. yeah. Just like spend like kind of this, I don't want to say the last moment with her, but the second she's crowned, like they have a busy schedule for like the yeah. next year. And then after that, unless they're doing something or coming to visit or whatever, there's no real reason for them to come back to the mansion anymore.
Totally.
So it's kind of like the last time we ever see that person again. But
for a while,
not,
yeah.
But it's not really the last time, but it feels like that. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely a graduation type thing.
Yeah. So we all gather in the dining room. Then Barbie shows up.
In commentary, you go, is this where Barbie wears her Dancing with the Stars outfit?
It does look like a Dancing with the Stars outfit or ice skating.
And then Barbie enters and she's wearing this like very sparkly outfit. And there's a deleted scene and we'll get into all the deleted scenes. But she's showing a butler that outfit. And she says, this is from the 70s. I think she says it's like vintage.
Yeah, I think a lot of her stuff is.
Yeah. So we all line up for photos and well, an interesting thing happens. We're lining up for photos and Kendra must have been late down there because uh-huh. this is the first time she's seen Barbie and we're already in the Great Hall lining up for photos. And they make a scene of it for Barbie runs over and Kendra's like, come over here, give me a hug.
Yeah, well, Kendra yells at Barbie over here.
Yeah.
Which is nice in and of itself, but part of a bigger tapestry you'll see. Like, right. I think she's doing it for ulterior motives other yes. than just being nice to Barbie.
Exactly. So then it shows us we're all in the limo.
The leopard print Hummer limo, yes. might I add.
And we really look crammed in there.
100%.
That reminds me, I was driving home one day and I was going down our the street that actually goes to our place. And so it just goes to a gated community. That's the only uh-huh. reason. And there was this Hummer limo, which I have not seen in a million years, yeah. a Hummer limo coming out of our gated community. And it was school bus yellow. And it said, oh God, I'm going to blink on what it was called right now. It was called like Playboy Rides or something like that.
What? I wish you would have got a picture of that. That's funny.
Well, I was not expecting this to come. Like, we just, like, passed, like, two ships in a night. But I was like, wait, this is so confusing to me. Like, what is that even doing in this community?
That is so funny.
And why is it called that? Where is it going? Like, and it's full-on ripoff of Playboy Girls Next Door days because the right? Hummer limo, like, that, like, we were, that was our thing.
That is funny.
Crazy.
And then they cut to like an on-the-fly interview of Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I love when they get like the confessionals or the on-the-flies of the other playmates because it's pretty rare. Like I guess they do on-the-flies of people pretty regularly. They did it with the dialect coach. They do it with Barbie.
But it's for like a one sentence, like yeah. little zinger or something. Mm-hmm. It's rarely like actually like digging into what how they're feeling. Or,
yeah. So this was great that we got a little bit of that from Sarah. They've done it with Sarah. They did it with Crystal Camden when she was shooting Cybergirl too. And I love that. And I wish there was more of it.
Yeah. So basically Sarah says, Allison, Janine, and Crystal and I are good friends and they understand that this is an opportunity of a lifetime. It's not just me. The things they are pursuing are taking off too. So it's just going to be a different year for all of us. But we have built friendships here that are going to last us forever. And they really have. I mean, we are still friends with Sarah to this day.
Totally.
Sarah and Allison are still friends. Like everybody, we're still friends with Crystal. Mm-hmm. Like everybody is still friends to this day.
That's why when that girl on TikTok wrote, my aunt was on the show and said Holly's a real bitch, I was like, who's being two-faced? Because we talk, with the exception of Kendra, we talked to almost everybody still who was on the show in a significant way.
Yeah. So we're all standing outside of Mastro's. We take that group photo outside and we're seated in the freezing wine room again.
Freezing. And it's a private room inside Mastro's. And it's really the only place we could have filmed there because Mastro's is very like dark and loud. And usually there's a live piano player, mm-hmm. a lot of other celebrities there.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? So one time we were at Mastro's, this was during the Mean Girls era, and Cindy Crawford was sitting a couple tables down. And of course, like that's Cindy Crawford. Like we all grew up, like she was the supermodel of all supermodels. You know, Hef remembers her from when she was in Playboy. So, ooh, Cindy Crawford, big deal. But it seems like, not that Cindy Crawford's so old or anything, but it just seemed like somebody from another generation. And then not too long ago, and probably even years ago, back from now, I was thinking, wait, I'm the same age to like the new Playmates as Cindy Crawford was then. And that just tripped me out because it just seemed like such a generational difference.
That's funny.
Crazy.
And then this is weird right here because in commentary, I say, oh my God, this night. And I say, this night. Oh my God. I say, I got home from this night and I told people that I live in the fucking Twilight Zone right now. And I say, it was the weirdest, creepiest night. And you say, yeah. And there was more than one element to it, too. And I say, oh,
wait,
yeah.
Did you say it's the creepiest night?
Yeah.
See, that makes me think we're definitely not remembering parts of it because we need to solve this mystery because I remember parts of the drama.
Yeah. So I remember parts of it, too. And I'm going to tell you guys what they are. So first of all, we're sitting in this room and it's kind of like a square table. So we're all sitting like around it, but it's big. There's Hef and then Hall, there's you and then mm-hmm. Kendra. And then it goes like Barbie on the side. And then on the other side, it's Hef and then me. And then I think it's probably Crystal and then
Lindsay.
I think I'm only trying to put that together based on who's sitting across mm-hmm. from us, because across from us is Janine and Sarah and Allison, Saskia. And I'm not sure where Allison is sitting.
She
might be over by Lindsay on the other side of Saskia, but that seems weird that she'd be on the other side of Saskia and not sitting next to Sarah because they all live together and they're like besties. And this is
I think
the last
she might have been though, because I don't want to speak for Allison. But I kind of got the vibe Allison was like losing patience with somebody else who was being really loud.
Oh, okay. So we are sitting there and Barbie is at the other end of the table and her and Kendra are kind of having their own scene themselves. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that scene in a minute. But they're doing other things that are very kind of begging for the camera's attention, being a little bit loud, trying to do funny things or whatever. Yeah. They're having their own show down there. I'm way on the other side of the table and right across from me is Saskia. And I even, before I remembered all this drama, I make notes in my notes that she's drinking like a straight, I don't know what it is, a brown liquor that's like, you know, small in a glass. So mm-hmm. what is that, whiskey or bourbon, typically something mm-hmm. like that. So she's drinking like a strong drink. She got really drunk.
Yeah. And we're not talking shit. Like, I love Saskia and I think everything she does is so cute. But it was, I think some other people were getting a little annoyed or feeling like she was taking away from Sarah's day, I think.
Absolutely. She was like singing really loud and doing like things that were getting people very annoyed, including Hef.
Which honestly, to take a little responsibility part of that behavior, I don't know if I was doing anything explicitly to encourage it that day, But I was just so the cheerleader of the playmates at that time. And I thought, especially if it was somebody I was currently working with, everything they did was so cute and funny. Because somebody's going to keep doing something they get like good feedback for. And like, oh my God, you're so funny. And da da da. Because I really thought she was so funny.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember. And this is not hate on Saskia. Like, mm-hmm. I have no ill feelings towards her. She was totally fun and everything like that. But she was annoying people that night and she was being very, very loud.
It was just like a mismatched vibe. It was like not everybody, nobody at the table was on the same page about anything that night, I think.
Yeah. And we're here to celebrate Sarah. We've got Barbie and Kendra trying to steal the attention down there. And then we got Saskia doing her thing over here. And then I say, and then there was drama going on next to me. And we cannot remember what the drama was. And I'm trying to figure out who's sitting next to me. Every time they cut to me, which is rare, they cut out whoever's sitting next to me. So I feel like the cameras knew that there was a problem too, or it's just coincidence. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I can't figure out who's sitting next to me. But just based on where everybody else is sitting and who's left, it has to be Crystal and Lindsay Wagner.
And that's bizarre.
Allison, possibly.
Because what could it have been? Because those are three of the most mild-mannered people. Did you get in touch with Crystal?
Yeah, so I texted Sarah, and Sarah said that she remembers Saskia being crazy that night, but she just thought it was funny and didn't care. Mm-hmm. Other people were being annoyed by it, though.
Yeah.
And then she said, and then she felt like Barbie kind of made the vibe weird that night, mm-hmm. but not in a bad way, not like she dislikes Barbie, but it just took away from, like, we're all such tight, close-knit friends and stuff, and it kind of made it like a little bit the Barbie show instead of what it could have been or should have been, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And she said she didn't know that there was other drama going on. And then she talked to Allison, and Allison said she just remembers Saskia being drunk that night. And they were talking about what she was singing. It's too late to apologize.
Yeah. Like,
and okay, and then
too late to apologize.
Yeah, because we make that fun of it to this day because she does it in her she's singing it in her accent.
I remember we were shooting with Arnie and that song was playing in the studio and she was just goofing around and started singing it really funny. And then it just became like, that's why I'm like taking responsibility for egging this on. Just, I don't think she would have been singing that out of the blue if it hadn't been like such a hit with me earlier and such a hit with Arnie and such a, you know, like we're hyping her up like you're the funniest person ever.
Yeah. So then I texted Crystal and I was like, do you remember? And Crystal's like, I don't remember anything from that night. I just remember, she remembers Saskia being drunk and basically that's it. Like she doesn't remember either. So I do not know what the drama was that was next to me, but I
what could it have been?
Felt maybe, like I was in the Twilight Zone, I said.
Maybe it was something having to do with like the crew. Maybe somebody from the show was asking somebody down there to do something and there was resistance. I don't know what that would have been, but
yeah, I don't know. And so I'm hoping that all of a sudden I'm going to have an epiphany because sometimes that happens. Like after I talk about it like this and I think about it, or after we record an episode, I'm like, oh my God, I do remember that, or that's where that was from, or like I'll have an epiphany. So hopefully I will. But it is like my reaction to this scene is like crazy. And I wish I would have said what the drama was, but obviously I was trying to keep it somebody's privacy.
Under wraps. Yeah. That's so interesting. And I remember even Hef was kind of losing patience with Saskia a little bit. Like she had got up to go to the bathroom and she came back. She was telling a story and Hef was like, what? Like he didn't hear. And she goes, and then she goes really loud, like way too loud, I think. But because Hef didn't hear her, she yells across the table. She goes, he said I look like Sophia Loren. And Hef goes, well, you're certainly attractive, but Sophia Loren was a great beauty. But I mean, hot take. And I even looked up old pictures of Sophia Loren to make sure. And I know beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I'm just going to have a different opinion. I think Saskia is hotter.
Really?
Even to the point where I'm watching this episode and she'll be in the background of shots and she looks like walking Facetune to me. She's like unreal.
Oh, she's gorgeous for
unreal.
Sure.
Unreal. Like she's every scene that she's like popping around in the back. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Yeah, she's beautiful, for sure. So then we get into a scene that's got to be your favorite scene. I'm sure at the end here, this is going to be one of your best.
Oh, my God. You know I hate the scenes about trying food. Because Barbie's, like, trying to get Kendra to try fish. And she's like, I don't like fish. And look, we all have things we don't like and won't eat. Like, I won't eat a raw onion. But I don't know why it's treated like this cute, quirky, comical thing that makes a great scene. And Kevin just loved it.
Yeah.
I just think it's boring and dumb.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, Kevin must have put Barbie up to that because that's the type of scene he loves. But I don't know, because I feel like Barbie was very much a gourmet. And I can see her trying to get Kendra to try stuff.
I feel like this scene happened for real. And I think she ordered, we're at a steakhouse and she orders the fish, which nothing wrong with that, but we are at a steakhouse. So Kendra was probably like, well, what are you doing why are you getting fish? We're at Mastro's.
Yeah.
Probably said something like that to her. And Barbie probably said, oh, the ahi tuna here is amazing. You should try it. And Kendra's like, oh, I don't eat fish. And then Barbie was on a mission to make her try it to show her that it is indeed good.
Yeah.
So we have a whole scene like that and Kendra twirling her fork around, talking about how she doesn't eat certain things and everything. And Barbie does a thing where she goes, come on, let's do it together. Aww. And it just is such like a less than five, like something you would do with a 2-year-old.
Toddler, yes.
Yes. But anyway, Kendra says that Barbie literally forces shit down her throat. I swear to God, if I didn't like it, I would have spit it all over her. And Kendra says, okay, it's good. I like it. And one of the reasons Kendra's saying this is the night before, I think it was the night before, but anyway, somewhere in here, Kendra and I also went to dinner with Barbie. Mm-hmm. And we went to this place. I feel like it was like Thai food, but I don't know. It didn't feel totally straight Thai. Like might be a Thai infusion type place. And this was no cameras. This was just us going, was making her try things there too that was out of her comfort zone.
Oh.
So I feel like it's like a
continuation.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, if you want more Girls Next Level tea, behind the scenes, and deep dives, head over to our Patreon page for the exclusive content you can only find there. We have a whole other podcast called Slumber Party with Holly and Bridget. We have the commercial-free, uncensored video version of Girls Next Level, our personal scrapbooks, advice, Q&A, and so much more. I'm up in the comments talking to you guys. It's all the good stuff. So go over to patreon.com/girlsnextlevel to join our Patreon family. We love you guys so much. We'll see you there.
And then in interview, Kendra says, referring to Barbie, we definitely bonded that night. She's so blunt, so honest. She tells it like it is. I don't know. There's something about her that reminds me of myself. She's a fucking cool ass chick, man.
Which again is like fine if she likes Barbie and wants to relate to Barbie. But I feel like this is a put on for other reasons too.
I do too, because again, there's things you don't see. There's a deleted scene and we'll get into deleted scenes later, but we do take Barbie shopping. There's a whole scene you don't see. I don't know if they're saving it for another season or what, but we actually, the three of us went and did a pole dancing class.
They do use it later.
Okay. And then, like I said, we went out to dinner to Barbie's favorite place on Sunset Boulevard. So we had like this whole day. I don't even remember if we did that all in one day, but we had a day or two where we like really like went and did things and we had fun together. It was a great time.
And I didn't go because I was at work.
Yeah. And it was, and everything was fine. So we are getting to know her and we are getting closer to her and we are like thinking this is like more fun and easygoing and it's not like animosity like it makes it seem. But the show is still playing it like, you know, we don't know all of that stuff yet.
And Kendra's really making a point on camera of making an alliance here is what I feel like she's doing.
That's where the difference is. Like, I'm experiencing all this stuff with Barbie, too. And I do think that she's like a friend now or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not hating. But like, they are definitely, Kendra is definitely going out of her way to still be like, I'm going to play Barbie side on this.
Like, I feel like if there hadn't been like that like rivalry between me and Barbie, she would not have been interested. She wouldn't have given two shits. She wouldn't have given her the time of day. She would have been like, oh, who's this old person?
Agreed.
Like, I feel like there's an agenda here and you'll see it by the end of the episode.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I feel like the cameras do a really good job of making the dinner seem calm and orderly compared to what I remember. I remember chaos.
This dinner was out of control. You don't see anything of Saskia being crazy. And that was like, and you don't see, you only see the fish trying scene with Barbie and Kendra being and doing their whole own show down at the end.
Yeah. And even though I was sitting next to Barbie and Kendra, I don't even remember what they were doing because my focus just wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's just like what you see on TV is not what I remember.
Yeah. And then who knows what was happening on my end of the table. Well, to be reported, we'll find out.
So then it's time to give Sarah some gifts. And they do a good job focusing on Sarah in this part of the scene and making it seem like very calm and about her.
Yes.
And I give her the diamond PMOY necklace, the same one I gave Kara. And I gave her a scrapbook I made. Every year I would make a scrapbook for the Playmate of the Year that had outtakes from her shoot that never got published. Yeah. So she would have those because otherwise they just would never get those or see those,
I know. It's so
which is
sad.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And I love that they actually show some of the scrapbook and they show the mock-up for what Sarah's cover would have been, which is this gorgeous outdoor headshot. And it would have been just such an iconic cover.
That's not the one I wanted for the cover. I wanted the one where she has the ribbon over her and it says Playmate of the Year.
They used that for a special edition cover.
No, I wanted it to be her Playboy cover. It's so cute.
And I feel like they would have photoshopped a freckle as a bunny and it just would have been, it would have been chef's kiss. I had that picture blown up big and put in the studio. It was just
a freckle for a bunny.
It would have been a timeless cover. It would have been like one of those 60s Playboy covers that is just a great cover. Like it doesn't have to be a celebrity. It doesn't matter who the girl is, really. It's just a great cover.
Yeah.
They fucked up with that. I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, in commentary, you're making fun of your laugh as you hand her the gift.
I mean, my laugh is bad, but I notice, especially in this scene, it's really awkward and really bad and really like, I don't know what's wrong with me.
You go, ugh. And the way you do it in commentary, well, that's you making fun of your own laugh in commentary, not me making fun of the laugh in real. But it sounded very Beavis and Butthead-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird.
And you're like, you say in commentary that laugh is you when you're nervous. It's your nervous laugh.
No, 100%. And I feel like most of the time my laugh was a nervous laugh at the mansion because I was always walking on eggshells or like afraid of how people were going to perceive me. And I know you were talking to Dickie Ban once about how he had watched our interview with Marston and he goes, oh, it's the first time I've seen Holly in a while. And I noticed she doesn't have her trademark nervous laugh anymore. And I'm like, yeah, because I don't have shit to be nervous about. Not that I don't ever have an awkward laugh. Like I'm not known for a great laugh, but still.
Yeah. So I thought it was really touching. I mean, Janine helps her put it on, which is like just kind of a sweet moment in my opinion, because Janine was also, as you guys know, up for Playmate of the Year that year. And just kind of shows their friendship. And I feel like Sarah is truly touched in this scene. Like, I feel like she feels very special and she's very touched by you giving her that. And then they do this weird cut of me like flipping my hair out of nowhere.
Random.
And in commentary, you go, Bridget, you look like you're doing a weird shampoo commercial right there. And I say, I know. Why did they put that weird edit in?
That is so weird.
I know. It's just so out of
giving it some kinetic energy.
Taz, well, I'll be like, huzzah, it's just the necklace.
That is so random.
It is really weird. And then, yeah, like Sarah's looking through the scrapbook. And in commentary, we talk about how they should have done a split run of this cover. They should have done the celebrity for like the newsstands. But then for people that had a subscription and knew who Sarah was and followed the show and people like that, it should have been Sarah on the cover for all the subscribers.
Yeah, at the very least.
Yeah. And yeah, even back then, we're like totally, you know, hellbent that she should have had the cover.
Yeah.
And we cheers. And that's the end of that scene.
Yeah. So we've been talking for a while now. We will be back next week wrapping up this season 3 finale. We'll call my mom again. We'll just get some other perspectives.
Yeah, that's fun.
And if you guys would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel and check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.